are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al.
You didn't ask him about that long?
I was getting there, Beetle.
What the fuck kind of host are you? I mean, you're burying the lead.
Shit, dude. Someone Chris is... Chip, please.
Powder.
Yes, sir.
And Maddie D.
And on top of that, now you have a triple effect. You have the Niners looking for a long-term answer with Jimmy G in-house. Maybe they don't want to spend the money on Jimmy G. Maybe he gets freed up because they go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who now theoretically could be freed up. So there's a lot of dominoes to fall.
Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. Couch Guy Sports presents Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 139. Little curveball right there. I almost went in a different direction. I forgot this was Legends Lingo for like 0.2 of a second, but we're back here. Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 139, is always presented by CouchGuysSports.com. As always, check out everything on CouchGuysSports.com, the daily blogs, the podcast, the YouTube channel, the Twitch channel. Check out our store. It's going to be getting colder. The fall's coming. It's those cold mornings and those hot afternoons. Get a pair of joggers, get a long sleeve crew neck, get a bucket hat if you still want one. Like, go get some stuff at the store. CouchGuysSports.com/store. Alan Heeganen, Powder will hopefully be back next week. He's supposed to get Wi-Fi toward the end of the week. So maybe by the time this comes out, he'll have his Wi-Fi. But we got Maddie Kiwoom back in the building. Maddie Kiwoom.
You.
I missed you, man.
Oh, I missed you too. It's been too long. I always look forward to these Tuesday night powwows. So to be back is very exciting. And soon enough, the Three Amigos will reunite once again.
Three Amigos will be reuniting very soon. And before anything, little programming notice. We might have some guests down the line. And pay attention to Couch Guy Sports in general. Some changes are on the horizon for the good. And I think a lot of people are going to be very happy about it. So just be listening for that. Be on the lookout for that. Because we got a lot of good things coming.
Lots coming.
A lot. So let's just dive right into it. The New England Patriots. They're on the actual, they're on the board with a win this year. It's great. So New England Patriots took on the New York Jets in week two, Sunday afternoon. Beat the New York Jets 25-6. Zach Wilson, poor kid. I mean, this poor kid,
Bill Belichick treatment is rough.
It is. Like, this is what Belichick does to rookie quarterbacks. Zach Wilson, the number two overall pick out of BYU in the 2021 NFL draft, goes to the Jets. Didn't play bad the first week against Carolina. He was okay. They only lost 19-14.
He was okay.
He was fine. He was adequate. This poor kid. Four interceptions on the day. Two to J.C. Jackson, one to Adrian Phillips, one to Devin McCourty. Patriots take care of business, 25-6. They now sit at 1-1. And Maddie, I'll just ask you before I get into my usual Patriots rant, what were your thoughts on this game?
It was real, like, early Patriot dynasty type of win. You know, they didn't rely on Mac a whole lot. He threw the ball 30 times, but only for 186. Very conservative offense. And the defense got after it. Like you said, they picked Wilson four times. They sacked him four times for 26 yards. Kept the rookie to a QB rating of 37. Ugh. Not great, but good for the Patriots. So it's just that old school grind them out win. And it's going to work against the bad teams. I can't wait to see them play some of the better teams to see how well it works.
So this is what I'm going to say about this game. And I think, Maddie, you and I are kind of on the same page here. It was a weird game. It was a really, really just odd game. So I didn't watch a lot of the game because I was on a train back from New York. I came back from a wedding and it was horrible. Like the Amtrak, have you ever been on the Amtrak?
No, I have not.
Okay. So the Amtrak usually has Wi-Fi. So my girlfriend and I went down to her cousin's wedding for the weekend. We go down the whole way there. Wi-Fi is working great. We're getting work done, watching Netflix. Like, all's well and good. Then we come back, couldn't get Wi-Fi for the life of us. And I'm just like trying to feverishly find ways to watch this game or just like see the stats. And it was very, very frustrating. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah. It can happen when you get shoddy Wi-Fi on football Sundays, there are not a whole lot of things as anxiety riddled as that.
Exactly. And I couldn't log into my email. I couldn't log into stream the game, anything. It was just brutal. So with that being said, So the Patriots in this game, they take care of business. But it was one of those games where if you take away the four turnovers, the Patriots only scored 25 points. Like, they have only scored 41 points in two games. It's only about 21 points a game, which isn't bad, but it's not great. But the defense, Maddie, nobody's talking about this defense. I mean, granted, it was Miami, it was the Jets, that's fine. But you've held your first two opponents 23 points total. First two games, that's given up almost 11, 12 points a game. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, and here's the thing that drives me nuts, and it's something that I just want to get this out, then we'll talk more about the actual game. When you say that a defense is that bad, isn't the real, like, only stat that we really care about is points given up?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the barometer, your basic barometer for defensive success.
Right. And that's the thing. You give up 23 points in two games. To me, you should get two wins because that's basically saying, okay, we're giving up 12 points a game. All you get is two touchdowns. That's it. Or a touchdown, two field goals. Seems easy enough, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. You would think so.
You would think so. But here's the thing. And Maddie's not knowing this, but he is muted, but that's okay. We're going to ask him to unmute. If you're listening to, there we go. We got it figured out. Still technical issues to this day, but you know what? We're rolling through it. But before, so here's the thing. We knew the Patriots were going to take care of business. But the thing that people are going to want to talk about is Mac Jones, because through two games, okay, and these are his stats so far, he's thrown for 467 total yards. That's 22nd in the NFL. He's only thrown one touchdown pass, which is tied for 28th in the NFL. But the big number is zero interceptions so far in two games. Tied for first in the NFL, which is good. His QB rating is 53.6, which is 18th in the NFL. So a little bit below that top half of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McDaniels had some interesting comments, Maddie, and it basically said, I trust Matt completely to take shots deep down the field. So I guess the question that I have for you is, why hasn't that happened yet?
I would have to just assume they're playing it safe. You know, they're trying to give this kid, bit by bit. They don't want him to kind of choke on what he's chewing on. And I think, you know, as they open up the playbook, you'll see this guy, you know, evolve more and more. And I think he'll improve as the playbook opens. I mean, we saw him make a lot of the throws in the preseason. So we know he's capable of it. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks come out of college in some time. And I think he's passing the early tests pretty well. I mean, they're Damian Harrison fumble away from being 2-0. And that's the most important thing to Belichick is those wins. So, you know, as him and McDaniels dial up more and more of this offense, you'll maybe see more, you know, deep bombs to Aguilar or, you know, tight window throws of the tight ends. And those are things that could really set them up for success this year, or maybe 2022 is their year.
So I think you're onto something, because I do think that, like, once we see, like, week six, week seven come around, like after that Houston game in week five, I think we're really going to see that offense kind of expand, because I think Belichick and McDaniels both know Mac's a smart kid. He makes the right decisions. Now, he may be playing it a little bit too safe. That's fine. But then he's going to start exposing some openings, expose some weaknesses in the defense. Sure. And then he's going to be able to go off and the offense will be better. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about Mac Jones right now?
1 to 10, like a 2. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, that's where I am. Like a 2 or a 3.
He doesn't even seem behind the progress. Like, he seems like he's doing well with what they're giving him at the time. I mean, I the comparison will always be the lazy one. But, you know, when Brady first got into, you know, took the ball in the center, they took some time to get the offense going for him. So, you know, time will tell if he can be a superstar in this league. But I certainly think he's more than competent and more than capable of running this offense.
Oh, but by the way, off topic for a second, can we talk about Tom Brady for like 1 second?
Sure.
Because Tom Brady with the Bucs, he's got 9 touchdown passes in 2 games. He's tearing it up at the age of 44. Great. He's outliving father time. You know, he's beating father time right now. That's great. Here's where I have an issue. I think it was Jerry Callahan, who used to be on, what was it, Kirk and Callahan or whatever it was?
Yep. Kirk and Callahan. And then it was Dennis and Callahan before that.
Right. So he used to be on WEEI, and he came out and said, you know, Tom Brady threw 9 touchdown passes more than Cam Newton had all of last year. Like, can we just get rid of this, like, Cam Newton narrative? Like, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, can we, like, I am so sick and tired of the people that are talking about this, that are talking about Cam Newton and still can't get it out of their heads that Cam Newton's out of here. And for the people that wanted Cam Newton out of here, you got what you want. Now you got your quarterback. So why are you still comparing him to last year?
Yeah, last year's the over and done with. Tom Brady hoisted the trophy. Patriots are looking to regroup this year with a new quarterback, highest drafted quarterback in the Bill Belichick era. It's time to move on, everybody.
Yes, it is. It's time to move on. And guess what? Either way, with either of your quarterbacks, okay, with either of the quarterbacks you have, people would have liked Cam Newton. People would have liked Mac Jones. Either way, you would have had a quarterback that you would have been happy with. You went with the rookie. You went with the kid that you drafted 15th overall. He's done fine so far. I think he's still going to be fine this year.
Yeah, and they took away Cam Newton because they didn't want any distractions. They didn't want anything holding him back. They wanted to let him and that locker room know that it's his job. So it's time for everyone else to do the same and just, you know, let Cam be whoever Cam decides to be in the next stage of his life.
Cam can make those decisions, and he came out with his fit on game day, which I thought was pretty awesome. I'm not even going to lie.
He always rocks it.
He does. Like, Cam's doing his thing. We're doing our thing, and we do our thing with A&B Burgers. Because A&B Kitchen and Bar in Boston has reopened. It's located on Causeway Street across from the TD Garden. They're the newest spot to meet up before or after a game for dinner and drinks. Offering an elevated take on a traditional New England pub menu with freshly made in-house dishes, they've served some of the favorites, such as the chicken pot pie, the meatloaf made with organically raised beef from Nemon Ranch, local clams and Andaloy sausage, or locally caught fish and chips. They also have draft beers on hand from area breweries like Gentile Brewery in Beverly, Mass., and they also have Lord Hobo and Notch that pair perfectly as well. Are you looking for some patio dining? Well, A&B Kitchen has a raised patio with spectacular views of the garden and the Zakin Bridge. And with newly installed heaters, you can enjoy the outdoor seating for an extended season. They also have 32 feet of open garage doors along Causeway Street and 16 feet along Beverly Street. So you're able to sit inside and have all the benefits of an open air dining experience without those pesky elements ruining all the fun. Don't have tickets but want to watch the game amongst fans? Well, A&B is the place with 9 newly installed 70-inch TVs. There isn't anywhere inside that you can't say you don't have the best seat in the house. They're open Monday through Friday. Correction, Monday through Sunday at 3 p.m. And if there is a game day on the weekend, they open at 11 a.m. So bring down your loved ones, bring down a friend, go watch the game at A&B Burgers, located in both Boston, Mass. And Beverly, Mass. Shout out to our sponsor, A&B Burgers.
A&B, we love you for opening early on game day. You are for the people.
They are a people's restaurant. We do know the owner, and he is for the people. He has confirmed that.
Yes.
So let's get into this Patriots-Saints game a little bit. Then we'll move on. We'll do some Red Sox talk, and then we'll call it a night.
Absolutely.
The Saints-Patriots game. So this game is interesting to me for a few reasons, Maddie. First of all, the Saints are in shambles right now. I mean, they haven't been home for like a month with everything that's gone down in New Orleans. Jameis Winston is their quarterback. And I mean, I'm sorry. I don't buy Jameis. I don't. Like, I still see him as the Tampa Bay quarterback, the guy that's going to make mistakes, the guy that holds the ball too long in the pocket. That's the Jameis that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Saints are 1-1. They blew out the Packers in week one. I think they got blown out by the Panthers in week two, if I'm not mistaken. And they have a lot of guys on defense that are on the COVID list and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, and I hate to say this, but I'm calling this game a must win. Like, I know the Jets game last week was, but they need to win this week.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt that I'm going to the game, but that's a different story. Anyways, the Patriots need to win this game. And here's why. Number one, you need to go 2-1 going into that Bucs Sunday night game. Because you start the season 1-3, you're going to get the Boston sports media critics coming out in full force.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, this team stinks. This team can't do anything. Like Maddie said earlier on, you're a Damian Harris fumble away from being 2-0 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in this game, I think the defense is going to put pressure on the Saints offensive line. I think they're going to get to Jameis Winston. I think the offense takes a step in the right direction. I think it's going to be closer than people think. So my personal prediction, I think it's going to be Pats 21, Saints 17. I think it's going to be a close game, but the Patriots find a way to pull it out. They're 2-1 on the year, going into the big one with Brady in the Bucs next Sunday night.
Right. I think you're right there. I think you're right in the ballpark. You know, they have one of the lowest implied totals on the slate at 41.5. So Vegas does not believe there'll be a ton of scoring. If it's defense versus defense, I really kind of like the Patriots odds given, you know, the setup of the game. They're going to come out and take away Kamara, and where are the Saints going to go if they can't go to lean on Kamara? Let Jameis just do his thing. That's going to lead to probably multiple turnovers. I mean, in Carolina, show that you can bog down that offense. And if you give Jameis some pressure and you contain Alvin Kamara, and I think the Patriots will take that exact blueprint and try to work it out on Sunday.
And here's my thing too, Maddie. This is a big thing for me. There's a few things with this. The only way I think the Saints come out with a victory in this game is if Alvin Kamara runs the ball down the Patriots' throats, because we know that rush defense, they've been trying to upgrade it for a few years now. They seem to have plugged it in this year. Haven't really seen much of it. The Dolphins kind of, I don't want to say ran all over them, but they were able to run at will at times. The Jets, not as much. The Jets, they took care of business.
Yeah, they took care of business.
You have to take care of Alvin Kamara. You take care of Kamara, like you said, where do they go on offense? Michael Thomas is hurt. And who else do they really have?
I don't know. No one really. There's really no one to turn to.
And not only that, the Saints are horrible on third down. 7 for 21 this year on third down conversions. So if you stop them the first two plays, you bring some pressure, you're looking pretty, pretty, pretty good.
You are. Mm-hmm.
So you got a final score for me, Maddie?
I liked your final score a lot, but to just go against it, I will say 24-21.
I think it's going to be, I think you're right on the, you hit the nail right on the head. And I think we both agree. It's going to be a 3-4 point game. It's going to come down to, I think the Saints are going to try to drive down the field. Jameis is going to make a mistake, or he's going to turn the ball over on fourth down. But I would be surprised if the Saints come in here, unless Kamara has a field day, and take care of business against the Patriots at Gillette. That's just me though.
I'll be shocked too. Me too. I thought it would be a tougher game. You know, we were giving our season previews earlier in one of our earlier episodes, but just seeing how that team's played out with their first two games, they blew out the Packers. But, you know, when a boulder gets rolling downhill, it can pick up a lot of steam. And I think that offense can be like that. And the Carolina Panthers showed the football world that you shut down Kamara and you let Jameis go out there and kind of gunsling it. You know, things can work in your favor.
Exactly. That's all there is to it. You have to, I don't want to say trust the fact, but you have to hope that Jameis is like he was in the past and make those mistakes, and you put enough pressure on him where he will make those mistakes. Definitely. Just like you did with Tua late in the game against Miami, just like you did to poor Zach Wilson. I still feel bad for that poor kid. He is going to be out of New York if he continues with that in about 2 years.
Yeah, hopefully things turn around. I mean, I'm not a Jets fan in the slightest, but you don't want people's careers being such a dumpster fire.
Correct. All right, we got our Patriots stuff out of the way. Before we move into Red Sox, Maddie, it's been a long week. You've been traveling. You've been working. You have a kid. You look like you need a little massage there, bud.
Man, I could use one, but I got to be honest, with the kids, I can't leave the house.
That's very true. When you have kids, you got to make sure that you're on top of them all the time and make sure that they're not causing trouble. But if you need a massage therapy gun without leaving the house, this product is for you, because the Legend Single Podcast is brought to you by ExoGun. Have you ever done a workout and feel like you need a massage right after? Get that massage without having to leave your house. Don't let pain and soreness slow you down anymore, because ExoGun revives muscle, boosts circulation, and releases energy so you can recover faster and live better. ExoGun is portable, adjustable, and powerful, and is trusted by the pros to deliver the ultimate in recovery experience. Gain back control of your body and achieve long-term pain relief with our friends at ExoGun. It comes with a charger and a carrying case, and you get 10% off with the code CGS10, that's CGS10, at checkout. Go get your ExoGun today. Treat yourself to a massage at a moment's notice with that promo code at checkout, CGS10, CGS10.
CGS10, baby.
CGS10. CGS10. All right, Red Sox. So they're in an interesting spot right now. The reason I say interesting is because if you ever listen to our Into the Triangle podcast, which is our Red Sox podcast, you'll know that Jared Scali and I are, well, we're back and forth. So as it stands, as of Tuesday, September 21st at 7:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Boston Red Sox are currently 86-65, holding the first wildcard spot in the American League. The Toronto Blue Jays are a game and a half behind with an 84-66 record. The New York Yankees are trailing the Jays for that second wildcard spot by half a game. Oakland is two games out. Seattle's three games out. And we don't care about Cleveland because Cleveland's going to basically be out too. So it's basically, can we agree? Is it a three-team race for the two wildcard spots?
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's fair.
Okay. Because Oakland, I don't see Oakland and I don't see Seattle making a run. Like, Seattle needed to beat Boston in that series in Seattle, and they lost 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Red Sox exactly. Beat Seattle 2 out of 3, and that kind of, for me, was like, okay, that's it right there. So, with that being said, Mr. Kiwoom, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Another ad read. No, just kidding. That would have been cool. New sponsor right on the spot. How do you feel about this Red Sox team right now as they sit in the first wild card spot in the driver's seat with the schedule that they have upcoming?
I feel good. You know, I like that they have this big series against the Yankees this weekend, you know, because if it goes well, then these, you know, kind of, I hate to call them throwaway games because they obviously matter, but they are against weaker opponents in Baltimore and the Nationals. So, you know, if they take care of business against the Yankees, there's a whole lot less pressure in that last two series, I should say. But, you know, overall, I'm pretty happy with them. Over the last 15 days, I think they're 7th in runs scored and 6th in team ERA. So they're playing good at the right time. And like I said, they got the huge series against the Yankees. If they can go ahead, you know, welcome into town and subsequently put their foot on their throat and tap them right on out, that would be great for them heading into that last week. We'll see, you know, how we're talking about this next week on the show. But as of right now, I'm pretty happy with playing, win 5 wins in a row. You know, yes, they are playing the lesser talent than they have had on their schedule, but you got to take care of the teams in front of you.
Amen to that. Because so here's the remaining schedule. We're not going to break down the teams next week. We're just going to say who they're playing. So the Red Sox remaining schedule is as follows. They have 2 games at home against the New York Mets, who are a little under 500. They're about 73-77. So the pitching matchups right now, as we're recording, Red Sox are playing. They have Eduardo Rodriguez going against Marcus Stroman. And then Chris Sale is actually going to be starting the Wednesday game against the Mets. Red Sox have an off day Thursday. Then the weekend series, they play the Yankees. For the Red Sox, you're going to see Nathan Eovaldi, Nick Pivetta, and Eduardo Rodriguez going in that series. So here's my whole thing. The Red Sox take care of the Mets in these 2 games, this mini 2-game sweep. Then if you can win 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, like Matty said, I don't think the Yankees have a shot, especially you have Baltimore and Washington the following week. But we'll talk about that more next week. And this is something, Matty, that nobody's talking about. The Red Sox over the last 2 weeks, they have 4 off days.
Yeah, a lot of days rest.
Right. That's big for the pitching staff. Because now you can go with a 4-man rotation, Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, Nick Pivetta, Eduardo Rodriguez, and just use that 5th day as rest, which is fine. Mm-hmm. So then you set yourself up so that way when you play Baltimore, and we'll talk more about it next week, you have some good pitching. And you have some decent pitching for your series finale at Washington. So with that being said, I think we both can agree. The Yankees, I don't want to say we don't fear, but if we had to take our chances, we'd rather play the Yankees if we can, right?
And the wild card, as long as it's not Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole on the mound equalizes any matchup.
But even so, the Red Sox have hit him well this year. That's the thing.
And he's been in a mini slump.
Right.
Lately.
Right. So that's the thing. The alternative is the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays, listen, Matty, I don't know about you, but I do not want to play the Blue Jays in a 1-game wild card matchup if Robbie Ray's on the mound for the Jays.
Robbie Ray, Berrios can pitch well. You know, Hyunjin Ryu has had some good outings against the Sox this year. Had some bad ones as well, but, you know, quality arms in a lineup from the gates of hell. Not what you want to see in a 1-game win them all.
Definitely not, because You think about this. If the Red Sox go in and play the Blue Jays, especially if they play them in Toronto,
Game changer.
Absolutely. But if you play at Fenway, I like the chances. I really do. I like your chances a lot. So now the
only I also like this little AL East bracket thing we got going on. Could be a two AL East. I mean, you could theoretically see the Yankees and Blue Jays tie, play each other to see who plays the Red Sox, to see who plays the Rays. That'd be kind of wild.
That would actually be sick. And then the Orioles are just irrelevant. But no, that would be kind of cool. And that's something that I didn't even think of. Like, there could be a battle. There could be a playoff game for the second wild card spot to then play the wild card game. It's a wild card game to play the wild card game. That's insane to me.
Yep.
But I look at this race right now. And like I said, you know, you have the teams that are eliminated, like the Angels and the Tigers are going to be eliminated after another loss or a Red Sox win. Cleveland's going to be gone soon. Seattle, like some of these teams, you know, they just don't scream wild card. You know, the Mariners and the A's, they're playing each other. They're playing each other Tuesday. I think they're playing each other Wednesday. And then actually Thursday too, it looks like. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, no, they're playing each other Thursday too. But then Seattle has the Angels. I mean, and then they have the Athletics again. So the A's and the Mariners are just going to knock each other out.
Yeah. Yep.
That's all they're going to do. But then you think about this too, right? The Yankees, think about their upcoming schedule, Maddie. The Yankees have the Rangers and then their last three series at Boston, Toronto, at Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gauntlet right there, man.
That is. I mean, put it this way. We had a record on Into the Triangle in these last 11 games that we thought the Red Sox should go to be able to clinch that first wild card spot. What was the record, or what do you think is the record?
What it is, or what you guys guessed?
What you think it should be.
The last 11, I think they need to, I think they're 8-3. Like, you got to kill it. You can't give any type of glimmer of hope because, you know, let's say you lose two out of three or get swept by the Yankees. Now they have momentum. They can beat Toronto in a series, and they can beat Tampa. You know, you don't want to give them any bit of momentum going into those last two series.
So I'll say this. With the Mets series, I didn't anticipate Chris Sale to pitch the second game of that series. So originally we had said maybe they split with the Mets, which is fine. But now if you can win both against the Mets – take two out of three against the Yankees. Then you're at 4-1. Then you set yourself up where if you sweep or take two out of three from Baltimore, then you, pretty much if you're 6-2, 6-3, 7-2 going into that last, or sorry, 6-2. If you're 6-2 going into that final series against Washington, you could start resting guys because that would mean the Yankees would have to go undefeated, which wouldn't be possible if the Red Sox beat them in the series, to get back in that wild card race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Red Sox would have to have an absolute catastrophic collapse to not make this wild card spot.
Yeah, and collapses tend to have some warning signs. Right now, knock on any piece of wood you can find, Red Sox fans, there aren't a whole lot of red flags at the moment. They're playing good baseball. They're playing competitive baseball. They're playing good team baseball on both sides, pitching and offense. And, you know, they got some clutch home games against the Yankees and the Mets. Let's call it what it is. You know, they get their DH. If they went to New York, they lose the DH. That would put them at a disadvantage, which is something they will have to face against the Nationals. So let's just take care of business against the Yankees, take care of business against the Orioles, so that those last few games against the Nationals is just a Juan Soto hangout fest and not necessarily these ultra-competitive need-to-win games.
Juan Soto hangout fest. That is perfect. I'll put that on a cue card if we could. If we had cue cards, that would be incredible. But there is one small thing I want to talk about, and then we'll wrap up for the evening. Garrett Whitlock injured, I believe it was in a game against Baltimore, tore like his right pectoral muscle. He's on the 10-day IL. It's not ideal at this time.
No.
I don't know what's going to happen with him, Maddie. I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on Garrett Whitlock, but it's unfortunate timing.
It's unfortunate timing. It's an unfortunate injury to have happened. It's pretty serious. It's not, you know, something like, you know, he'll be back at the 10-day minimum. It'll be, he'll be chomping at the bits to get back. They're going to have to balance whether, you know, how much they want to push him to come back and how much they want him to rest. But, you know, you don't want him coming back for the playoffs with any kind of rust. You also don't want him being rushed back to play meaningless games against maybe the Orioles and Nationals. So they are in a tough spot with him, but, you know, sometimes guys are just kind of, they're tough. And he just comes across as that kind of guy that if they let him play and he's medically cleared, he'll go out and do whatever he can, whether it's an inning, two innings, or maybe just a batter. But Garrett Whitlock's a guy you want on your competing. So we hope he, you know, speedy recovery, and we don't hurt. I don't want to see him hurt his long-term success either, because I think he does have some long-term staying power with the Red Sox.
Who's your closer going forward for this team?
If everyone's healthy. Doing a pretty good job. I'd probably go Ottavino. He's done a good job. You know, Barnes, I think Barnes can pitch well in the seventh or eighth because he got paid. I think that was a huge move by Bloom because now it just eases his mind and just put Barnes wherever he's needed. And if he can just regain a little bit of that first half magic that he had, you know, fastballs up, curveballs down, he could be dominant in whatever role they need him to be in. But, you know, Ottavino's done well in that position. Just, you know, let him rock with it.
I like Ottavino, especially if Whitlock's injured. But if Whitlock can go, I want Garrett Whitlock in the ninth inning. I do.
I do love Whitlock in the ninth, yeah, for sure.
I
he's healthy and get ready to go. He has that mentality. He's got the pitch repertoire and he throws strikes.
That's all you need. That's all you need is a guy that's going to throw strikes in big situations. That's why I don't love Matt Barnes right now. Right. But we'll see what happens. But we're going to talk more about the Red Sox next week. Hopefully by this point, they'll have gone 4-1 going into the next week. So we can start talking about solidifying that first wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots have a big game coming up this Sunday. Hopefully they get it done against New Orleans. Celtics are going to be starting up soon, so we'll be talking about that again.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins are a week or two away, so we'll do some season preview stuff on that. Maddie?
Alan?
It's always a pleasure.
Ugh, every Tuesday's a pleasure, baby.
It is. Check out Legends Lingo. Rate, subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. And we're not going to be on SoundCloud for that much longer. We're actually going to transition to Anchor very soon. So you'll be able to find us on iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor. So go make sure that you rate and subscribe everywhere. Rate and subscribe to all the other podcasts in the network. Maddie's couple podcasts, his fantasy baseball podcast, High Heat Fantasy Baseball, new fantasy football podcast, Key Boom and Jones, him and Chris Jones doing fantasy football weekly for Couch Guy Sports. Check out everything else on the website too. Go buy some from the store. Shout out to our sponsors, A&B Burgers and Exogun. Maddie, any final words before we head out?
No, I am excited for this time of year. You know, football's underway. You know, baseball is in the home stretch, if you will. And it's just exciting time to, as always, be a Boston sports fan. Never a dull year.
It's never a dull year to be a Boston sports fan. So for Maddie Kiwoom, I'm your host, Alan Hegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 140.
Peace.